Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the ghost host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She grew up with ghosts. As the ghost host, it's Sophia Temporelli, 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And unfortunately, this is the last week we will be playing that intro music bumper for the show, because next week starts 9 years of broadcasting for the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. I want to thank my old professor at the University of Laverne, Mike Laponis, for providing that voiceover every year. He submits those for Sophia. He taught Red Carpet Ross Matthews everything he knows, and also Charlie over at TMZ. He's taught everybody, and he does the voiceovers for this show every year. So thank you, Mike Laponis. You can go to mikesvo.com. That's mikesvo.com for any voiceover work, too, as well. That's his personal company. But also, too, thank you, Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week. And all of our moderators, thank you guys for patching us through at live events throughout the years when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much for all of your help. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. We hope everyone's keeping safe out there. This is the Ghost Host Show. the most unique paranormal broadcast, hands down. We're starting at 12 years old. Sophia's been doing this broadcast next week, coming up on 9 years. So congratulations, Sophia. And today we welcome back Detroit Paranormal Expedition's founder, the Para Exchange host, Todd Bonner, as seen on Haunted Case Files and Paranormal Survivor. He's going to be on Live with Sophia. Everyone visit DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. That's DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. WeirdWeekendsOnline.com. Also on Facebook, of course, Paranormal Expeditions, Twitter and Instagram, at Todd Bonner DPX, at Detroit Paranormal EXP, at Para Exchange, and of course on YouTube, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. Next week for Sophia's 9-year anniversary show here on LightParanormal.com, we have 2095 paranormal thriller author Rosella C. Rowe. That's going to be on the 6th next Saturday. Also, Second Sight paranormal psychic medium Erica Marcia Busser-Hain will be on the program on the 13th. We have a lot of people securing their dates too as well to be on the show. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Of course, like LiveParanormal.com Facebook group page, a lot of great new paranormal investigator team roundup panels on the weekends, and a lot of great new broadcasters added to the lineup here at Live Paranormal. Check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, they're offered by the membership packages, and support the vendors here on LiveParanormal.com. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids and Kindred Spirits Now, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows are available as free MP4 iTunes downloads available immediately following the broadcast here on LiveParanormal.com on the homepage. I'm trying to unmute our host here right now, Sophia. Let's see here. There we go. Sophia, congratulations. Next week, 9 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. You've helped all over the years. We have, you know, our cousins, and of course, we have DJ Kimmy, Peyton, and Lily. They're visiting from Washington State. They're over here, too, as well. They're out enjoying the beach, but how's it having them down?
It's nice. Yeah, so Peyton and Lily are very young, so they're very active, and I'm not used to that activity level.
Yeah, they're keeping Grandma busy, too, as well.
Yeah, they move really fast. I don't know how young kids with such short legs move so fast, but they do. They really do.
And you got your new puppy, Maya. How's she getting along with everybody?
Pretty good. She's still pretty freaked out. I mean, she did come from Baja, Mexico, like a little over 2 months ago. So she's not used to the activity level of a young child yet, but she's overall doing pretty good. Just a little freaked out from time to time.
Yeah, when she came up here, she had a really bad case of mange, but you've been treating her. You did a really good thing by rescuing her, too. So thank you for that. You have all these Twitters, Instagrams, all these things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with 1L and Instagram at Sophia Temporelli.
All right. Tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today, we welcome back Detroit Paranormal Expedition founder, the Para Exchange host, Todd Bonner, as seen on Haunted Case Files and Paranormal Survivor. Everyone visit DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com, WeirdWeekendsOnline.com, Facebook, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, Twitter and Instagram, at Todd Bonner, DPX, at Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, at Para Exchange, and YouTube, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. Let's welcome Todd back into the show.
All right, Todd, got you unmuted. Todd, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much again for coming on. It's always great talking to you.
Yes, I feel like a regular. I suck her a third time on. And I just want to say congratulations for 9 years coming up for you. That's tremendous.
Thank you so much. And yeah, congratulations on all the success with the Para Exchange and everything you do in the field. It's amazing, you know, to just see everything you're doing.
It's been fun, and it's been a lot of work we put into it. Jeff Atkins and I started this in 2016, not knowing where this would lead to, and it's been mm-hmm. an adventure to say the least, and we've enjoyed every minute of it.
I'm sure. And you know, before all your work with Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, you have an interest in the field. What kind of initially started that interest, and you know, how did it kind of go from there to starting Detroit Paranormal Expeditions?
I had a near-death experience when I was young, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think now as I've gotten older, I think that kind of propelled me into this a little bit. And my father was a police officer, and growing up in the 80s, the paranormal stuff was kind of taboo. There wasn't really too mm-hmm. many people to talk to it about back then. I had my first experience, like real paranormal experience that I can remember as a teenager, sneaking into an abandoned psychiatric hospital here in Michigan. And I heard a disembodied voice, and I kind of kept it to myself because I think if I would have said anything back then, people would have thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my dad being a police officer, growing up in that environment, I went to Catholic schools. You're kind of taught that that stuff doesn't exist. So
yeah.
Kind of just went with it, you know, because, you know, my dad's supposed to be a police officer. It's all based on facts and science. So I kind of kept it to myself. But I've always had an interest in it. I've always loved it. I'm a huge horror fan, also movies and stuff like that. So as mm-hmm. I've got older, I kind of just said I don't really care what people think anymore. And I joined a team, and that's why I met Jeff Atkins in 2011. And that's when I got my first taste of doing actual paranormal investigating.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean about the Catholic school thing. I went to Catholic school up until eighth grade. And yeah, they didn't necessarily straight out tell me I was wrong, but they also looked at me like I was weird. So, but I didn't really care that much.
No, it's everyone has their own opinions about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in that kind of environment, it's kind of taught that there's no boogeyman. There's no ghosts or anything like that, kind of. And so you kind of just, it's a learned something you learned growing up, that you really don't talk about that stuff or really not believe in that stuff. But people that do talk about it are weird or whatever. And I don't care if I'm weird. People think I'm weird at this point mm-hmm. in my life. I love it. I enjoy it. And I think when it gets to a point where I don't like it, then I'll probably stop. But I love going traveling. I love the history of places, and I love the actual investigation. It's been fun. I mean, every place we go to, and the people we meet too, also, it's just different experiences and life learning experiences that I just love doing.
Yeah, definitely. It's such an amazing field, and, you know, just finding out about the locations, being able to investigate and just find out more from the people who are still there is just, it's really amazing to be able to do that.
It is. It's fun. And it's like I said, it's a learning experience. I learned something new, even from other people, other investigators, how people investigate. I don't think there's really any experts in this field. I think there's experience. Mm-hmm. So you gain experience. You learn what works for you, I guess, basically. And I do this for myself, like personal experiences, trying to find maybe answers. I know a lot of people try to get data and evolve the field or whatever, but I don't know if it's you can do that right now, because I know technology is getting better. That's why you see so many
yeah.
different, you know, photographs and videos of shadow figures and EVPs. I've heard some great EVPs, and we've been able to capture some great EVPs too, and some great photos now lately, last year or two especially. So I think it's evolving, and it's always going to evolve. And I think that's what draws people into it, because it changes constantly. And like I said, every place you go to is a different experience. In a lot of places, people go to the same location we go to, and they don't have the same experiences. They have different experiences that mm-hmm. we have. And I think that's the interesting part, too, because no one has the same experience at each location, which is kind of fascinating in itself.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about the field. You know, I always say on the show, it's not an exact science. You could go to one of the most haunted locations in the world and capture absolutely nothing one day.
Yeah.
And go back another time and have the most experiences you've ever had. And so, you know, you never know day to day and, you know, minute by minute what's going to happen. You just can't predict what's going to happen at every location.
No, and like you said, there's been places we went to. We went to Waverly Hills. We had, you know, supposedly one of the most haunted locations in America, and or even in the world. And we were there, I think, 10 hours or so. We had some paranormal experiences, but we didn't have a lot, like you would think, you know, or we were told. But other people go and have a lot. And there's been places, small places, that's not really heard of, but we have all kinds of activity happening. So I think it's different, you know, for each person. Or why is it different that time we went, it's different another time. You know, it's so interesting to figure out these reasons why things change. Maybe it's the people that you're with, or maybe it's your energy's off. I believe in, you know, we're all energy. I think when our energy is put out in the world, you're going to bring back what you put out sometimes too. So a lot of times you have to have a clear head, and sometimes just regular life gets in the way of doing paranormal experiences. You know, you might have stress from school or work or other things like that, and that can affect sometimes an investigation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know. That's why I never fault anyone if they say, like, I just don't believe in the paranormal, because it's so hard to believe unless it happens to yourself. I mean, people who are skeptics can go into, like, Alcatraz or Waverly Hills, where so many people have had experiences and have absolutely nothing happen, which for them just confirms that it's not real. But that doesn't mean it's not. It just means, you know, it's very hard to believe unless you see it or felt it yourself.
And that's what, you know, we do a lot of presentations and public speaking and stuff, and people will come that are skeptics or don't believe, and we'll show some of our evidence and videos and audio stuff that we've captured, and then by the time that we're done, we'll fix some questions and answers at the end, we'll have people come up like, well, you know what, I don't really believe in this, but this happened to me. So I think people that are skeptics are still interested in this stuff, and like you said, once you have your first paranormal experience, it just changes your whole outlook on everything, because it's unexplainable. Just everything I look at now is totally different. You know, did that door really close on its own? Was it the wind? Was it the, you know, you start looking at things just in a different light. And I think once you open yourself up to that and kind of, you know, I'm not saying people totally have to believe in it, but once you open yourself up to there is something else besides us, you'll start noticing little things that you didn't notice before. At least from my experience, it's happened to me that way.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think, you know, for people who are skeptics and then, you know, become believers, I think even all paranormal investigators, that part of that skepticism never leaves, because, you know, some things can be easily debunked. So when you're investigating, you always have to keep some of that with you, even if you do fully believe that there is more out there.
Exactly. I think you have to have a good dose of skepticism to do what we do. Because, you know, you hear stories of people going to, oh, this happened to me. And I'm always a firm believer, at least for me, that I have to see it to believe it or experience it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I base it on. I mean, I believe there's so many different experiences for people. And I met so many different people in the paranormal community. And, you know, their stories are amazing and our stories are amazing. And it just, it's so unexplainable. And that's what draws me to it. It's like a rush for me. I'm not like roller coasters. I'm afraid of heights, believe it or not. But like, this is a rush. When I go into an abandoned building or old historic haunted location, it's just a feeling I can't explain. It's this rush that I get, and I love it. It sounds weird, but I love doing it. And a lot of people don't understand it, and they think it's weird or whatever. But once you experience it for yourself, it just changes everything for you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love investigating, but I'm also afraid of heights, spiders, snakes. I do not watch horror movies. So, it's totally different from, I think a lot of people think it's just really scary, but a lot of the times, you know, nothing happens, or it takes a really long time for something to happen. So it's not, you know, as scary as watching, like, you know, the way it's depicted in TV shows or in movies. So it definitely doesn't have the fear-based level. I think a lot of people assume it does.
No, because you can go, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours and nothing happened at all. We've had that happen before. And then there's other times, as soon as you step into a place, things start happening right away. And when you see on TV, they have to condense that down to around 45 minutes. And those guys are investigating.
Yeah.
I've been part of that before. You're investigating for, sometimes you're shooting for a full day or 2 days, and then they have to clip all that down. And they don't see the times you're just downtime, you're waiting. And it's a lot of patience. You have to have a lot of patience being a paranormal investigator, and just use different techniques and equipment to see what you can get. And TV shows are nice because they kind of show what we do, but it's also not exactly how it happens. They don't happen right away a lot of the time, so you're gonna, you have to wait, and sometimes nothing at all happens. But it's still fun to go. It's still fun to go to these places.
Yeah, and, you know, I know you investigate with your team, and speaking of investigations, what do you guys have roles within the team on investigations? You know, what is kind of – what does each person on your team do?
We kind of are let each other kind of do their own thing and feel their way out. There's no, like, defined roles. I know a lot of teams have, like, you know, case manager. I mean, we do have a case manager. Warren's our case manager. And Matt's our historian. But I think we all kind of take part in that. And lately, the last year or two, we got more into videography, filming stuff. So we went switched all GoPro cameras. And we're all take part in that. We're still learning that aspect of it. It's kind of cool to document. A lot of the stuff we do a lot of live investigations. But now we're starting to get into the editing part. And it's a process, and it takes time. But we all kind of contribute. There's no, like, one thing. You know what I mean? It's everyone wants to learn. So we're all learning from each other and learning as we go, which has been very helpful, I think, because we can bounce ideas off each other. But no, I know some teams have set roles. Ours aren't really that way. We kind of just do what you feel comfortable doing, pretty much, and what you think you can handle. And then everyone else just picks up the slack for each other.
Yeah, and I always think that's such a great way to run a team because, you know, some days some person may want to research the history more than another person. And, you know, it kind of takes the weight of feeling like one person has to complete a sole task and it's all just put on them. You know, it's more of a group effort where it takes some of that pressure off of everyone.
Yeah, and I think as a team or as a group, and we're all friends and we hang out outside of, you know, doing the paranormal too, you want to help each other out. You know what I mean? So it does take a lot of the pressure and the weight of trying to get something done on a certain timeline. A lot of times, especially lately for us, things come really quick. So we might get offered to come to a place, you know, and could you be here by this weekend? So we have to hurry up and scramble. But I mean, we try to plan things out the best we can. But there's a lot of times things just pop up and we always try to take them as soon as we can. You know, if people offer us to come to places, we definitely try and go. But I work full time. I have kids. We all work. So it's you kind of try and maneuver your life around the paranormal and make it happen as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's another misconception of the paranormal is how much time actually goes into investigating even after you've left the location, reviewing evidence and all of that. I mean, it's a lot of work, and trying to balance that and have a life is difficult sometimes.
It's hard. It's really hard. And now that we're getting into more of the video and the editing and stuff, we've always kind of done that with our static cameras, but now it's like those static cameras plus our individual cameras now. We're getting to body cams. We're switching stuff like that. We're going to start doing some underwater investigation, like shipwrecks and stuff. So we're trying to figure out the best way to use equipment underwater. So we're just trying to do different things that we've always been interested in. Now that technology keeps advancing, it's going to allow us to do the things that we wanted to do, thought about doing. It actually could turn into investigations now. So, but this pandemic has really held us back, especially here in Michigan. We're still kind of stay at home, lockdown till the end of June. They keep extending it. So we're going out of state. We're going to the Fairfield Infirmary in Ohio. We're going to Sweet Spring Sanitarium in West Virginia, and then we're going to the Hinsdale House in New York. Those, fortunately, are open states, more open than Michigan. And we have some things here in Michigan, some new locations we're going to be able to do as soon as everything is opened up again. I'm still leery because there's no vaccine. It's a scary time right now. But it's you just have to work around it. As long as you're safe, follow the CDC guidelines and things like that, I think you can still do some paranormal investigating.
Yeah, I live in California, and certain counties just today opened up restaurants for people to actually go back in and eat at. My cousins found one because they went to Huntington Beach. So, yeah, things are slowly starting to open in certain areas.
For everyone here, they open the malls here. No restaurants, though. Not yet. So it's hard. You know, you're kind of isolated a little bit. But it's given me time to work on things. I've started my own production company with a friend of mine, Brian Prince. in January. So we have five shows that we've came up with that are in some forms of development and production. One of them was Shayna Mokler. Hopefully, I was talking to her the other day. I want to get her on a show with you. She's very interesting. And she's into the paranormal, and she's an empath. She's a lot of cool paranormal experiences. But we have one show with her that's at the Travel Channel, and with production at a halt right now, they're slowly starting to do that also. There's just different guidelines now to actually start filming. So hopefully that gets on track here in the next month or two. But it's, you know, that's been a fun thing too, where it's given me time to start doing some production stuff that I never thought I could do before because I didn't have the time. But now that I have time, because the paranormal stuff has kind of slowed down investigation wise, I've been able to develop some really, really good shows that I think are going to be fun to watch. A little different. But I'm excited about that part of my life too.
Yeah, that's great. You know, congratulations on starting that company and all of the work you're putting into it. I'm sure, you know, even though the quarantine's not great, I know for a lot of people, it's been very helpful to just kind of make them stay in one place and actually work on a certain project, because it doesn't take you away to like, hey, I want to go to a restaurant. Well, you can't. So you're stuck doing what you have to do.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of shows. I mean, I still want to like doing stuff in front of the camera too. So I'm still going to do the shows when I can, but I also like doing the development part, the creative part. And that's been like a passion of mine really the last few years. And I really have had the time. So when all this really came down, I reached out to a friend of mine that lives in LA. He's from Michigan, and he's a horror writer by trade, but he's into the paranormal too. So we came up with some paranormal shows, some true crime shows, a UFO show actually with Dean Haglund that used to be on X-Files. So it's been interesting, and getting to know these people and meet these people, it's been fun too. I consider myself a people person, and I love meeting people and interacting and hearing their ideas. And it's been fun. It's been different, something I never thought I could do. But I finally just said, you know, I got the time now. Let's just try and throw something together. We worked. It takes a lot of time. I mean, we've worked really hard on the projects that we have. And so far, they're panning out. Knock on wood.
Great. You know, congratulations on all of that. And by the way, we would love to have Shauna on. So yeah, that would be great to, you know, talk to her and, you know, hear her insights on the field.
Yeah, she's had a lot of paranormal experiences. And you would never know that, you know what I mean? And I got to know her a little bit, and we talked about doing a show. And so I'm pretty good friends with her, and she has some great, great stories. I told her that she would love to come on, and I'll try and set that up with your dad and you guys so she can come on.
Yeah, that would be great. I actually saw her a couple of years ago on a show called Growing Up Supermodel. So that was really interesting to see, because, you know, I got to see a little bit more that I normally don't get to see with guests, you know, kind of the family life and stuff. So it's really interesting and, you know, helpful to be able to see that, you know, do her kids have interest and all of that interesting stuff that most people don't know from just seeing someone on a show.
Yeah, and she's super, super nice and super cool and really down to earth, and she loves the paranormal, so she's an A-plus in my book, you know.
Yeah, it's always great when you meet someone who loves the paranormal, because, you know, there's a lot of people that do, but it's also a very small community, so it's just kind of like, hey, you like it too. It's like that Spider-Man meme where you see the Spider-Man fighting out each other.
Exactly. And then you have something to talk about. You know, you get things, you know, because it is still kind of, I mean, it's a small community. So when you talk to people outside of it, you're still kind of leery a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think now that people know that I do this, I mean, I have, you know, my friends and family and just people that I meet on the street ask me questions about it now. So that's been the fun part too, just kind of educating people on what I know. I'm no expert whatsoever. I just kind of tell people what I know, what I've been through and felt and seen and heard, and kind of show them what we do. And I enjoy that part of it too, talking to people about it.
Yeah. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And, yeah, we will get Shannon on. I know I attempted to reach out to her. She just got back from a vacation, then all this lockdown happened. So we'll definitely get that going too as well. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Today we welcome back Detroit Paranormal Expeditions founder, the Paris Exchange host, Todd Bonner, as seen on Haunted Case Files and Paranormal Survivor. Everyone visit DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com, WeirdWeekendsOnline.com, and of course on Facebook, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, Twitter and Instagram at Todd Bonner DPX, at Detroit Paranormal EXP, at Paranormal Exchange, and YouTube search Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. Also, too, we have two astronauts in space right now. While the show's been going on, you can minimize and watch that, too, as well. The SpaceX launch just transpired. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and we'll be right back with Todd.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, almost left out of the, but he made it in there. We got Dave in there. And also, too, we have all new sound bites, everything coming up, whole revamped show starting next week because it is the 9-year anniversary show of the Ghost Host Show on liveparanormal.com starting next week. So we are celebrating that with 2095 paranormal thriller author Arthur Rosella C. Rowe. She's going to be on. Also, too, Second Sight paranormal psychic medium Erica Marcia Booser Haynes, she'll be on the program on 6/13, so that's going to be 2 weeks from today. We have other people securing their times. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. We have some people in there. I'm posting Todd's links, too, for Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. So visit DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. And to play along, and let's bring Sophia. I'm trying to unmute too as well here, a little lag there. But here we have Todd and Sophia. You're back in the show.
Thank you again so much for coming on today, Todd.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking to you, and you have a great family. You guys are awesome to support the paranormal as much as you guys do, and the experiences you had growing up too.
Well, thank you so much, you know, for all your support throughout the years. It's just been great, you know, being able to meet people such as yourself within the field, and we're glad to know you.
Yeah, Todd.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way. And hopefully I can get out your guys' way. I was going to try and get out this year, but obviously with what's going on, I don't know. And if you guys ever get out our way, we'll take you on some adventures with us.
Yeah, we would love that. It'd be great to meet in person. Speaking of you going places, I want to talk a little bit more about your investigations underwater. I actually saw Josh Gates do that a really long time ago on Destination Truth, and he actually caught EVPs. So what was it for you that kind of, you know, made you want to go underwater and investigate? And is there any particular shipwrecks you have in mind you want to kind of go investigating?
You know, I've had an instance when I was younger where I almost drowned. I'm kind of afraid of water, believe it or not. So this is another thing where it's going to kind of overcome my fears. I don't know if I'm going to dive. I think Jeff is going to be the one that dives. But we had an experience at a lighthouse on an island a couple years ago. And we got one of our best EVPs ever. It kind of almost sounded like The Exorcist, this voice we got when Jeff and I were asking questions. We didn't hear it in the moment. We heard it after we reviewed the evidence. We were and the waters were raging. So I think water creates energy. And I think, you know, shipwrecks are just like haunted locations, but they're underwater. And I think there's so much under the water that's unknown that it's still untapped. And I did see that episode with Josh Gates, and I remember that always stuck with me. And now with the technology, a lot of the stuff, the equipment we use are spirit boxes, ghost boxes. They're handmade boxes built by different developers and builders. We have like 7 or 8, I believe. Jeff Sense built us 3 of them. He's one of the best in the world. I just want to figure a way to get a spirit box underwater to see if we can use it. I know there's ways to do it. We're looking into that. We're talking to a couple professional dive teams here in Michigan. There's one in Michigan. It's called Edmund Fitzgerald. It's in Lake Superior. But I know the families that happened in the 70s, and I know the families are still alive. I don't want to disrespect them either. You know, because something's haunted doesn't mean it's bad. I think people get that impression that because things are haunted, it means it's bad or dark. Or I've been to haunted places before, and people have contacted us where it's a loved one, just letting them know that they're okay, to try and comfort them. All hauntings aren't bad. I've only had a few experiences where they've been kind of negative. But, you know, shipwrecks, you still have to be respectful to the people that are alive, the family members that are still alive. And there's a lot. I think there's over 25,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes here in Michigan. So there's plenty for us to look into. And there's actually a few shipwreck parks that you can actually dive to for the shipwrecks in Michigan. So, yeah, there's opportunities for us to do that without really offending. That's the main thing. We're respectful with any of this stuff, and we don't want to offend anyone. But it's something that's exciting and new somewhat, and we're going to try and delve into it. We want to use our paranormal equipment that we use above water at haunted locations underwater somehow. So that's what we're kind of looking into now. Even I know when teams do dive, they use the bright lights. We want to use infrared lights, the same kind of lighting that we use in, you know, dark haunted locations. We want to be able to do that underwater. So it's something we're working on. We've talked to quite a few dive teams, some captains, and trying to work with them. And I mean, they're supporting the paranormal, which is cool too. So it's a work in progress that hopefully we could do it. We're hoping to do it by the end of this year, hopefully in the fall, maybe. Again, this epidemic or pandemic's really, especially in Michigan, has really put a halt to a lot of stuff that we wanted to do this year. But you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time and finding how we can investigate. Because I want to investigate like we do when we go to places, but I want to be able to do it on our walk too. You know, so it's something we're working with and talking to a lot of dive experts and teams. And so it'll happen eventually. And I think when it does, it's going to be really, really cool. We want to do it, you know, take people to tell them the history also, just like we do on a regular investigation, but then take them for this journey an adventure underwater to a lot of these shipwrecks. And I believe the shipwrecks are just like haunted locations. I think energy stay there. Unfortunately, when, you know, the crews die or the passengers die, I think their energy still stays on that ship. And so that's what we're trying to find out and see if we can connect.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that you are attempting to do that. It's very untapped territory. Or haunted locations, you know. I mean, there are so many haunted locations above ground, and I'm sure there's a lot that haven't been discovered. But I mean, underwater really hasn't been touched, so it would be great to see what you capture. I know I took one scuba lesson when I was, like, 14, and I could not figure out how to regulate it, my head, so I didn't get the bends. So I decided scuba diving probably wasn't for me. So, yeah, there's so much involved with that. I can't wait to see what you guys do with that.
Yeah, and you're not going to have a – that's the thing. You're not going to have a lot of time because of the regular air pressure. Your body gets used to it. Like you said, you get the bends. You have to come back up. So we have to find a way to be – to do it quick and economical and because, like we've talked about, you might stay at a haul location for hours and hours and hours, and with a shipwreck, you're not going to get that opportunity. You know what I mean? So you have to figure out what's going to be the best technique, what's going to be your best piece of equipment to use to try and get some kind of response. And we may never get anything, but we're hoping that we can, if we can figure out to dive a little bit longer without putting our lives at risk or any kind of health issues. So that's the tricky part too. Trying to put this all together. That's going to be the hardest part to do that, you know, is the safety and trying to stay down there as long as possible too. Because you're not going to have that much time really.
Yeah, and I would think one of the hardest things would be, you know, when you go to a haunted location, there's so many atmospheric differences you can tell, whether there's a cold spot or if it just feels weird. And I'm sure in a shipwreck, it might just feel weird in general because it's kind of creepy.
Right.
But, you know, trying to figure out, is there a cold spot there or is the water just cold? And can you even feel that if the water is just super cold in general?
I know that's – I mean, is it going to get warm all of a sudden? Is there going to be colder spots? Are we see shadow figures? Will we get captured shadow figures? Are we get EVPs? Will we get interacted? Will we get touched underwater? Like sometimes people get touched, you know, when you're at a haunted location. So I assume it would be the same, but different in a way. You know what I mean? I don't know how.
Yeah.
In these things, we find when we go to haunted locations that have never been investigated before, they were poorly haunted. It seems like the activity is more. I don't know if it's because it's the first time anyone's trying to really connect with them or talk to the energies or spirits. So I feel like the shipwrecks are really untapped, that the energy will communicate with us right away. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I'm just based on what we've done up on land. You know, maybe they're ready to talk and they'll communicate with us. Maybe they won't. Who knows? It's interesting, and it's just something we really, really want to do, and it's something we've talked about for a couple of years, and we're trying to really put it in motion now.
I mean, it was surprising. I really was surprised how much Josh Gates actually captured when he went on a shipwreck. I didn't think that was possible, but, I mean, there wouldn't really be a reason why it wasn't possible. It just seems like, you know, underwater, you wouldn't be able to capture anything, but I think there's so many possibilities that have been yet to be discovered.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I was pretty shocked, too, and that's really, I always thought about this stuff, like, and shipwrecks are kind of fascinate a lot of people, you know. It's sad in a way, and it's just, you think about, obviously, the Titanic, where the whole, you know, all the people that had perished in the Titanic in the middle of the ocean, and that's their graves, you know what I mean? The bodies weren't recovered, and a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of shipwrecks are like that. They're still there, you know. So it's always been fascinating to me, and I think it's fascinating a lot of people, the shipwrecks and the history, and, like, what happened. And so hopefully, you know, after seeing that episode, it really got me going. And it's just finding the right people to work with to do this properly and try and get the way we want it done. I don't know if it's possible, but that's what we're working on. And it's untapped, like you're saying, and I believe it's untapped. And it's a whole new world to explore underwater that who knows what the results will be.
And there's so many, you know, wrecks of different kinds, plane wrecks, shipwrecks in Bermuda,
right,
too. I mean, there's so many locations that just are unexplained in general and just have, like, a cluster of things, whether it's reef, if it's just there were no lighthouses, or if it's just a strange occurrence like the Bermuda Triangle.
Right, and there's actually a thing called the Michigan Triangle. There's been planes and boats disappearing and going down in a certain area of Lake Michigan, so we're going to try and go in that area too. It's just, there's so much to do. You know, that's what gets me excited because, you know, a lot of, there's still a lot of places here that haven't been done yet. But a lot of the places that are haunted have been investigated over and over and over and over again, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of our biggest things starting out, Jeff and I, when we started DPX, was doing places that haven't been done before. And we've been very fortunate to get in a lot of places that have never been investigated. But we've went to the big ones too and investigated those also. But I always like doing the new ones. And then you start researching the history and you find out things that I didn't even know happened. And I think that's the same with the shipwrecks. You know, it's new and exciting, and it keeps you motivated. So I think you have to – I love doing the paranormal, but you always want to find new ways and new things and new techniques and new places to go to. It just keeps pushing you to do more.
Yeah, and with the shipwrecks, too, you're able to kind of tell – they usually have a captain's log or something to tell you who all was on it, where at a property
right.
on land – there are people that can just die in a house and you may not know if it was way back in the times where they didn't really document that. I mean, there were undocumented stowaways on ships, but if it was a military thing, there really wouldn't have been that. So you have more of a definitive answer of who died there, you know, why this potentially went down. Was it an engine fire? Did a wing break off? And so you kind of have more hard evidence to actually ask and get responses from, instead of guesses, which can happen a lot in the field.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they have there's usually a log, a guest log, and captain's log, and a lot of that stuff's been recovered or it was kept, you know, above shore or on land. So you kind of have the history of that, and you can research some of the people, and it's a lot, I wouldn't say easier, but it's a lot easier to get that history. Like, because you go to the places and you don't know, there's been thousands of people go up to some of these, especially hospitals and prisons.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of records. You don't know who was there and what happened to them, unfortunately. But in this instance with the shipwreck, you might be able to pinpoint who was on, unless you go back to the old ones in the early 1800s,
yeah.
late 1700s. But the newer ones from, 1850 up, I'd say, you would be able to get those logs and find out who's on those ships.
For sure. And, you know, speaking earlier of more popular locations, I know last time you were on the show, you were set to investigate Lemp Mansion with three girls in the dark. Can you tell us what you captured there and how the investigation went?
Yeah, the Lemp Mansion's old mansion in downtown St. Louis, right by the Budweiser Brewery, their main headquarters. And Three Girls in the Dark, you've had them on before. They're great, great, great people. Gina,
yeah.
and Emily, and Ryan, and Melissa. Yeah, we went there and investigated, and we got a couple things, but to me it was more of the experience again to that place, because you could feel the energy. We got a couple good EVPs, but it was more of the experience being there. It's beautiful, but it's creepy at the same time, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place in Detroit that kind of reminds me of the called the Whitney. It used to be a mansion, but now it's a restaurant, just kind of like the Lump's a mansion now, and a restaurant, and you could also stay there. They have a couple of rooms upstairs. But yeah, I'm good friends with Gina. Her and I do the podcast together. I actually took a break for the last 6-7 months because she has a youngster, and my three kids are a handful sometimes too, and getting to the trying to keep up with the paranormal investigations. We kind of put a hold on the podcast for a little bit. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I love traveling, and we kind of got away from that the last year and a half. We were doing a lot of tours, which really wasn't what we started out to do, but we did tours, and we're getting back to like traveling and going to, you know, we went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital and Shepherdstown and Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia and Ohio State Reformatory and Madison Seminary. And there's a couple places in Texas we want to go to this year if it's possible. So we want to get back to our roots of doing the investigations, doing our live stuff, just kind of show people what we do and kind of get away from the tour thing, because it kind of strapped us down where we couldn't travel as much. So we did too many tours. So
mm-hmm.
We're still going to do a few of those to take people to some of the locations we go to, but not as much. It just, it's not really what a paranormal team does. It almost turns into a business kind of, and that's not what we want to do. We want to keep it fun, and the road trips are fun. Going places for a weekend with everybody and getting to investigate and hang out and see some of these different towns, a lot of these small towns, historic towns across America. That's what we set out to do, and that's what we're getting back to.
For sure. And I know you were mentioning your kids earlier. Do any of them have an interest in the field? Do any of them go on investigations with you?
I have two boys. Cody's 12 and Jackson is 14. My daughter's 16, Brooklyn. I've taken them all at different times at different locations. My daughter has a little bit more interest in it than my boys do. They're still interested in it. They just like going and look, exploring some of these big places I've taken them to, which is typical of boys. But my daughter, she's a scaredy cat, but she likes it. You know what I mean? She asks me questions about it. And when we do events, she works events and helps out. And so they have an interest in it. I don't think they have an interest in it like me, but maybe as they get older, they will develop that interest. And they enjoy it. We'll watch the TV shows together. My daughter loves watching the TV shows, Ghost Adventures, and she loves Zach and those guys. So we'll see where it goes from there. If they want to carry on the torch, I guess, so to say, for me and do it after I don't do this anymore, that'd be great. I'm all for it.
What advice would you want them to kind of take away from what you've learned in the field?
You know, the main thing I think that I want them to learn, it's not even paranormal, I don't think. It's respect the history and worry about preserving history, because Michigan's really bad at saving historic locations, and the history goes away. Once these places are knocked down and turned into parking lots and condos and everything else, it's gone. You know, and I think even when I was younger, I didn't appreciate the history as much as I do now. When I got older, we try to preserve history. We work with a lot of people trying to save, buildings and homes and any way possible. And I think that's what I want them to take away from this. Don't forget the history and try and help preserve it, because once it's gone, it's gone. And all you'll be able to do is read about in books and watch it on TV. But if you have an opportunity to actually go to these places still and keep learning the history and telling the stories of the people that lived here, ran these businesses or companies or lived in these homes, I think that's very, very important for younger generation not to forget. I think kids forget about that and take it for granted.
It's surprising how many historic places still get torn down. I know on the show The Vampire Diaries, they had a mansion that was the Salvatore boarding house, and it was a real place. The inside of it was so intricate, and it was built in, I think, the late 1800s. And, I mean, it was a house you would never see before or again. It was one of a kind. It was amazing. And in 2015, they tore it down for a Mercedes-Benz, dealership, and I just can't believe it.
That's crazy to me.
It's a one-of-a-kind house that you'll never see again. I don't know why you would tear it down. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't get it either. Michigan, Ohio is really, really good at, and I'm glad we're close to Ohio. We get to go to a lot of places in Ohio. Old Lincoln County Jail is another one in Ohio, Madison Seminary, Fairfield Infirmary. But they preserve history. The state works with these people to help preserve history. And you go through towns in Ohio, these old towns and the houses are still look like they're all upkept, and the old downtown districts still looks old, but it's upkept and restored. And in Michigan, you don't see that. They'll tear it down. And there's groups that we work with that try to save a lot of these buildings, but it's just, you start dealing with politics and businessmen that have money, they'll throw the money out there and get tore down and, like you said, build a dealership over it. And it's sad, too, because once it's gone, it's gone. It's never coming back. And some of these places are so, like you said, intricate and beautiful, beautiful places.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
Oh, you can just check us out at DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. That would keep that pretty much up to date of anything we have coming up. We're going to do an event at Sweet Spring Sanitarium. It was supposed to happen last month. We're pushing it back. It may be July. But we'll post that once we get to find out a definite date. We're just so hard to maneuver, like what states can open and how many people you can take on an event. So that'll be the next thing coming up. Just look out for something with Shayna and myself and Jeff Adkins and Chelsea Gill on the Travel Channel. The show's called Triggered. That's come to a halt with production, but they're slowly starting to do some filming. So hopefully we'll get some resolution with that in the next month or two. Other than that,
Wow.
Just catch us on Facebook and Instagram and our website, and we keep pretty much up to date with everything we got going on.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Todd. It's been great talking to you as always, and I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future.
Thank you for having me on. I love coming on, and I'll come on anytime. You guys are good people, and I enjoy coming on and talking to you.
Oh,
well,
likewise.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we hope to see you out this way, or likewise if we get out that way. We have a big ship out here we want to see with you someday.
Yes, I'd love to do the Queen Mary. You're talking about the Queen Mary? I'd love to go to Queen Mary.
It's above water.
Yeah, it's above water ship. You can actually come see.
I'd love to do that. It's on my bucket list. That and Alcatraz. I want to get to Alcatraz. That's always been on my bucket list too. I'd just love to visit Alcatraz.
Yeah, I would love to go to Alcatraz. I've been to San Francisco a couple times and I've never gotten to see it.
Yeah, Eric Avosi, Soul Searchers, he was on Alcatraz, and he says so many people have the headset tours on the walk around. He said he actually had great EVP sessions because everybody's quiet listening to these headphones, so he says no one makes a noise walking around. So he can actually do EVP during the day.
For sure, I appreciate it. Anytime, I'd love to come on and talk again anytime.
All right.
Well, we would love to have you back on. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Next week starts your 9-year anniversary show. This is going to be fantastic, Sophia. Todd's a great guest, and we do hope to see him out this way sometime.
Definitely. He's such a great guest as always. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And also the archive show, if you miss anything, it's available as a free MP4 iTunes download. So it'll be loaded by the site founder in just in moments. So that'll be coming up later too as well. As today we head on Detroit Paranormal Expeditions founder Todd Bonner. And as he said, there's a show called Triggered that is going to be debuting after all the lockdown and everything. So congratulations to Todd on that. So everyone, for updates and more information, DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. That's DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com as well. 2095 paranormal thriller author Rosella C. Rowe will be on the program next week. Second Sight paranormal psychic medium Erica Marcia Busser-Hain will be on the program on the 13th, 2 weeks from today. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com fan page to learn about the guests real time. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Hi, this is Debbie at Seon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.